Wow. Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you guys today at church here at New Life. I want to say again, welcome online here at New Life. We are all about making Jesus the center of our lives, our church, and our community. I love how God just starts putting things together and using so many different people who didn't have conversations beforehand about the different things that might be talked about or sung about today, and how God will just inspire one and another and another and another. I love to see the moving of the Holy Spirit, don't you? Man, I love to see the moving of the Holy Spirit and how He just uses all different facets of people to get across what God is wanting to say and do in our lives. I would just encourage you as we continue on, not only today but throughout life, man, just believe God for more. Come on, believe God for more. That it's not about, you may not feel it all today or see it all in reality today, but believe God for more, that breakthrough is coming. More of what God is wanting to not only put within us, but what flow through us and produce in our life. It requires His help and His Spirit in us. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to a text that's familiar with a lot of us, Psalm 23. Psalm 23, this is a text that's a psalm of David, a prayer of David's. We're going to get into that here in just a moment. Our theme for this year as a church is looking forward, looking forward. So you're going to see that, you're going to hear that a whole lot this year. We're being intentional about saying it a lot because we want us to fix our eyes on that. And it's important what we gaze upon, what we look upon, or we fix our attention on, our focus. That's where our life's going to go. And Philippians 3, Paul tells us to look forward to what lies ahead. And so you're going to hear that a lot mentioned in sermons, mentioned in prayers, just mentioned, period, because that is the direction we're going. That's our theme. That's what we're looking at this year. The title of today's message, I've titled it, My Life in God's Hands. My life in God's hands. Let's read Psalm 23. I'm reading from the New King James on this one this morning. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You, O Lord, are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, everyone say surely. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all, everyone say all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. God, thank You for Your word. Let it be real to us today. And I ask You, Lord, to use my preaching today to awaken hearts and to bring every one of us to the full understanding of truth. Lord, it's my passion in ministry. It's my passion, O Lord, with Your power to flow through me to help everyone make Jesus the center of their life. And I pray that You would be glorified in and through this day and our time together and through Your church, O Lord, on this earth. In Jesus' name, everyone can say amen and amen. There's a story in the New Testament. It's actually in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The story of the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. You see, Jesus was trying to just get away and get alone. Anybody ever just try to get away and get alone to get some rest? That's what Jesus was trying to do. In fact, His cousin, John the Baptist, was just beheaded recently prior to this story by Herod. And the disciples had came and told Him what happened. And He's like, you know what? We need to get away. I need to rest. And He was tired. And He tried to do that, but He couldn't do that because the crowds found out where He was and showed up. Anybody ever just show up at your house when you don't want them to show up at your house? People call you and you're like, I don't want to talk right now. I can't. I just can't. And the crowds found him. The crowds needed him. And so what did Jesus do? He took time. He taught them. He took the time to heal the sick that were among them. They were in need, and he gave to others. And he was in need, but yet he still poured himself out. You see, this miracle was not only a miracle in this time because he didn't just teach them, he didn't just heal them, then he fed them from a very small amount of food. This miracle was not just a lesson to the masses, but it was a lesson to the disciples as well. You see, he taught them that if they would just put their lives into his hands, into the hands of the Lord, that he would make much of it. Putting our hands, putting our lives in God's hands. See, there were 5,000 men plus women and children. So simple math, roughly, just simple math, 15,000 to 20,000 plus people there. And what he did was he borrowed 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. John's gospel says that they got this food from a small young man, a young person, a young boy who was out amongst everybody. And the disciples took that and borrowed that and said, hey, the Lord needs this. And so they gave all of that. They gave the 5 loaves and the 2 fish to Jesus. They put it all into his hands. He took it. He blessed it. Then he broke it up and gave it to the disciples to then go out and disperse that to the thousands of people, to the many thousands of people. Then the Bible says, the story said, they all ate as much as they wanted. They didn't have to be shy about it. If they wanted a 2-piece, they got 2-piece. If they wanted a 12-piece, if they wanted the buffet, they just had to keep going back. It was all continuously flowing. They ate as much as they wanted. Nobody was judging anybody. They just said, how many times you been up there to the buffet? Oh, it's about my 12th visit. This is some good fish. He can do it upright. They ate as much as they wanted. Then the disciples were sent out to clean it up and pack it up so that nothing was wasted. And it said there were 12 basketfuls of leftovers. Any households believe in leftovers? Like, you believe in packing them leftovers up, packing them away. Hey, we're going to be eating that maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow, maybe the third day. We're going to eat some more of that food, leftovers. Nothing went to waste. So the disciples got their share of it as well. Might I add that this miracle probably would not have happened had the disciples not actually put the loaves and the fish into the hands of the miracle maker, Jesus. And I would add today, likewise, unless we put our lives into the hands of God, we will not see the miraculous results that only he can do with our lives. Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at some of the core values of our church. We've looked at being living kingdom-minded, looked at discipleship-driven. Today, we're going to look at a core value that we call stewardship-guided. And it reads this way, we value exercising stewardship over the resources of life that God bestows upon us. This includes our time, our talent, our treasure, the totality of our life. And it's about trusting God by obeying the principles of his word to make margin for the purpose of ministry. See, in the beginning, in Genesis 1 and 2, we see that we were created in the image of God, to walk with God, to work with God, as we yield our life back unto God. And in Psalm 23, we see David gives a testimony of what life can be like and what life is like when we live putting our life into God's hands. You know, this psalm, Psalm 23, is a very familiar psalm to a lot of people. It's one we often perhaps may stow away in a journal that we might memorize in our mind, that we might tuck away on a piece of paper in our pocket or our purse or a notebook somewhere, or one that we might keep before us posted on a mirror in our home, some nearby where we might often go. It's a psalm of comfort. It's a psalm of reassurance. It's a psalm of encouragement. It's a reminder that my life in God's hands is better than my life in my own hands. My life in God's hands is better than my life in my own hands. So what we're going to do, we're going to use this psalm, Psalm 23 today, and we're going to use it as a parallel to a story in Luke chapter 5. Go ahead and get over to Luke chapter 5. We're going to use David's parallel of Psalm 23 with a story that deals with Simon Peter and how their lives show us how to live and how we can live a stewardship-guided life. Oftentimes we hear the word stewardship. Our minds immediately jump to finances, right? That's just one part. That's just one small part of stewardship. So I'm not talking today about just money. I'm talking about the totality of our life. See, I'm a believer that if we give God our whole life, then it won't matter what's tied to that. Our money, our time, our talents and our gifts, what we're called to do with our life, who we're called to marry in life, who we're called to be friends with in life, where we're called to go to church at in life, where we're called to pursue our education in life, where we're called to do whatever in life. You see, if we give God the totality of our life, He gets all of it. Anybody? So let's look at this. Luke 5, let's look at the first four verses first. It says this. One day, everybody say one day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, who was known as Peter, he would later call him Peter, its owner. He said, push this out into the water. So he sat in the boat, Jesus did, and he taught the crowds from there. And then when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. This encounter that Peter had with Jesus would go on to set a precedent for Peter's life, and it would serve as a foundation to his faith moving forward. From his very first sermon in Acts chapter 2, where he led 3,000 people to Christ, to his writing of 1 and 2 Peter later on in his ministry. You see, here in this story, Jesus invites Peter. He invites Peter to put his life, the totality of his life, into his hands. Jesus stepped into Peter's boat. If you will, if you say maybe the boat could represent Peter's life. Jesus stepped into Peter's boat, his life. Then it said he sat down in Peter's boat. He sat down in Peter's life. Then he occupied some space in Peter's boat, in Peter's life. Then he used Peter's boat, Peter's life, for his purpose. Jesus then goes on. He moves along from talking to the crowds to just talking to the one. He moves from the many to focus on the individual. Jesus has a conversation with Peter and a demonstration with Peter. And he asks Peter, hey, go out where it's deep. Let down your net to catch some fish. He's asking Peter, Peter, listen, man, if you'll give me the totality of your life, I will change your life. Don't just give me one little part of it. Don't give me just Sunday morning, Peter. Come on, somebody. Don't give me just that one little aspect of your life. Don't give me that now I lay me down to sleep prayer at night. No, give me the totality of all your prayers, the prayers you can't even try to put words to, where only tears flow, where only it just beats deep down in the city of your soul, and you have a hard time describing the way you feel and what you're trying to ask me for. Give me the totality, Peter, of your life, and I will show you your life will never be the same. He sat in his boat. He said, I want to take up space in your life. Peter, just give me the totality of your life. So Jesus calls Peter into this stewardship-guided life. If he would just say, listen, it looks like this. Put your life into my hands, Peter, and it will never be the same. With a little bit of time I've got left, I want to just travel through six attributes about a stewardship God in life as we parallel David in Psalm 23 and Peter here in Luke chapter 5. Number one is this. A stewardship God in life begins with making Jesus the Lord your shepherd. Verse 5. Simon replied, "Master, we worked hard all last night and we didn't catch a thing, but if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." "If you say so," Peter said. You see, this is what Jesus is wanting from all of us, a yes. It could be a, "Yes, Lord." It could be a, "Well, if you say so." It could be a, "Yes, for sure, absolutely, positively, yes." He's just wanting us to say yes to him. Peter had expressed at first, "Look, I was up all night fishing. I didn't catch anything. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I'm ready to go home and eat my breakfast, and I'm ready to go take a nap. But if you say so, I'll do it. I'll say yes to you." Peter was in that moment of like, "Listen, I'm exhausted. I'm hungry. I'm tired. I'm empty. I'm unfulfilled. And there is still more. I got bills to pay, and I didn't catch any fish to pay my bills. I don't have anything right now. But if you say so, I'll do it." Perhaps there's some of you here today that Jesus is just waiting for you to say yes. And I would add, he's probably waiting for us to keep saying yes. Don't ever get tired of saying yes to the Lord. "Well, Lord, I said yes to you last time and look at where it got me." And the Lord's like, "I know where it got you, but don't stop saying yes." Don't get tired of saying yes to the Lord. Maybe like Peter, you've been trying to do it your way, but you've realized, man, that's just not enough. I'm still coming up short. I'm empty. I'm unfulfilled. There's more I still need in my life, and I'm not able to make it happen. May we make Psalm 23:1 a reality and a place from where we live, our life. David said, "The Lord is John's shepherd." No. "The Lord is Brandon's shepherd." No, what'd he say? "The Lord is make the Lord your shepherd. I shall not want." May that be a reality and a place from where we live this life. In this crowd today, I do believe the Lord is talking to the one. Number two, a stewardship God in life is a life that follows Jesus, the Lord your shepherd. Follows him. Look at verse 6. "And this time, their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear." And this time, well, last time, nothing. But because they said yes to him, this time their nets were so full of fish that they began to tear. That's a lot of fish, guys. That's a whole lot of fish if your nets are going to tear. You see, putting the totality of our life into God's hands places us in a position to experience a totally different life. Come on, if life stayed the same after Jesus, then why bother calling on Jesus? If he doesn't have the power to break my chains, to destroy every stronghold, to liberate me, to set my soul free, to put righteousness, peace, and joy on the inside of my life, to put the fruit of the Spirit hanging from my life, to give me the power of his Spirit to live for him, then why would I ever call on him? He has the power to raise me up from the dead. He has the power to change the trajectory of my life. He has the power to wipe away every tear and heal every hurt in my heart. And if I stayed the same after Jesus, then why did I ever call on Jesus? Jesus showed him this miracle, put your life into my hands, and I'll make your life different. I'll make it different. Moving forward God's ways, in His way, brings rest and refreshing to our souls. Consider what Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30. He said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you a hard time." No, okay, I want to make sure you didn't fall asleep. "I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Are you burdened and troubled within? Let Jesus have your whole life. "For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." You see, we're not called to just go through the motions. We're not called to just checkmark our religious duties, to spin our wheels, to mindlessly travel through time. No, we're full of purpose. Our life takes shape in Christ, and Christ takes shape in us. As Luke writes in Acts 17, it's in Christ that we live and move and have our being. You see, our life is in Christ. Our purpose is in Christ. Our identity is in Christ. You want to know who you are? Follow Jesus. You want to know what you're called to do? Follow Jesus. You want to know all there is about life? Follow Jesus. He unlocks doors, opens doors, closes doors. I know it can sound confusing, but trust me, He opens things for you for a reason, and He closes things for you for a reason. Because He's looking out for us for a reason, and that reason is He loves you. He loves you. Our life is no longer defined by our past or by the measurements of this world. As Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone," say anyone, say that's me. "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away." Come on, when you come to Christ, there is a funeral and nobody's sad. There's a funeral and nobody's crying. There's a funeral saying, "Oh, I'm going to miss that old Tammy that used to run around in this world. I miss that old crazy self of her." No, nobody says that. I can only say that about her because, you know, I've been knowing her for a while. But I wouldn't say that about you. I wouldn't say that about everybody. But you get what I'm saying. Maybe I should stop using names and using my church members as examples in my sermons. I might not have a job next week. All right, the old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Come on, anybody new in Christ? You're not who you used to be. So quit letting the devil tell you you're never going to change. Quit letting certain family members tell you it ain't worth it. You ain't ever going to change. Show them Jesus is real in your life. Old things have passed away. New things have come. May we make Psalm 23:2 a reality in our life. David said, "He, the Lord, my shepherd, makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." Number three, a stewardship-guided life is a life that is a vessel through whom Jesus, the Lord, our shepherd, can be glorified. He wants to be glorified through us. Look at verse 7 of Luke 5. "A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking." Both boats, Simon's boat and his partner's boats, were both filled. You know, putting our life into the hands of God not only changes our life, but through our life, He makes a difference in other people's lives. He makes a difference through your life. Psalm 23:3, may this be a reality in our life. the Lord my shepherd. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You see, as my life is restored by my Lord, as your life is restored by your Lord, he then leads us along paths that will intersect with other people. And so the impact that my life can have on other people is for his name's sake. And he wants to use our life for his glory. His life living through mine for his glory, for other people's good to know Christ. And that is why we have to talk about what God has done in our life. That's why we have to share our story with people. What has God done for you? Who is he to you? What does he mean to you? How did he save you? How did he provide for you? How does he rescue you? How does he continue to take care of you? How does he look after you? How did he heal you? How did he restore you? How did he reconcile you? How did he open up that door? You shouldn't be in that place. You don't have the rights. You don't have the goods. You don't have the experience. How in the world are you there and I'm still stuck back here? But God, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Peter, if anybody had a but God story, it's Peter. You see, Peter denied the Lord 3 times. And who got to preach the first sermon on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2? Peter. That don't sound right. It should have been John who stuck close, the beloved of the Lord. But it was Peter. In fact, on the resurrection day, it was said that the angel told Mary, hey, listen, go back and tell the other disciples that I'm risen, but make sure you also tell Peter. Who did the Lord have a special breakfast prepared for when they came in after fishing, after his resurrection, but before his ascension, and had a little private conversation? Peter. And he preaches his first sermon. Man, and 3,000 people come to Christ. You can read about it in Acts 2. I'll skip that verse for now for time's sake. Acts 2, read that and see how the Lord used Peter to share his story. Number 4, talking about a stewardship God of life, putting our life in God's hands. You guys okay? All right. A stewardship God of life is a life that seeks to live abiding in Jesus, the Lord, your shepherd. Look at verse 8 of Luke 5. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, fell to his knees before Jesus, and he said, oh, Lord, please leave me. I am too much of a sinner to be around you. Peter realized what had happened. You see, what had happened was he knew that without Jesus in his life, he would keep coming up short. He would keep being empty. He would keep trying to do life his way. He knew for the first time, the Lord is with me. The Lord wants me. This is the Messiah. You see, he was humbled by Jesus' work in his life. And he knew that, man, I cannot begin to move forward anymore the way I have been living my life. I need to learn to abide with this man, who is Jesus the Messiah. Maybe Peter remembered this occurrence later in his life when he wrote 1 Peter 5, verses 6 through 8, where he said, so humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time he will lift you up. He will lift you up in honor if you'll give him all your worries and your cares, because he cares for you. So stay alert and watch out for your adversary, the devil. Prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking for someone to devour. For the first time, maybe Peter realized with great conviction, the enemy thought he had me, but Jesus said, you are mine. If I can borrow the words from that song. Peter realized, hey, through his life, I am no longer going to be trapped by the enemy's tactics in my life. I'm no longer going to be deceived. I'm no longer going to be duped. You feel like a fool when you've been duped, don't you? It's like, man, how could I let that happen to me? The enemy is good. He's crafty at that. And Peter realized the enemy thought he had me, but Jesus plucked me out and said, no, you are mine. You are mine. May Psalm 23:4 be a reality in our life where David said, you know, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you, Lord, are with me. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You see, the rod and the staff of the Lord our shepherd beats hell off of you, beats the enemy back, and pulls you into safety. Bats away the wolves, bats away the attacks, and pulls you in to safety, pulls you back in closer to the fold. You see, abiding in Christ is not about some religious checklist, but man, it's about realizing every single day. So it's a song my kids love to sing. Every move you make, what is it? Oh, every move I make in you, Jesus. Every breath I take, it's you, Jesus. Something like that. Yeah, close enough. You get my point. But every single day, you want to know comfort? You want to know reassurance? You want to know not being lonely? It's abiding in Christ. It's abiding in Christ. Jesus does a whole spiel on it in John 15, where he makes it plain about that. Take some time to read that this week, John 15. David realized, the Lord is my shepherd, and I don't have to be afraid because you're with me. Your rod, your staff, man, they bring me comfort. You're with me, abiding in Christ. Number five, a stewardship-guided life, putting the totality of our life in the hands of God, is always amazed at Jesus, the Lord, our shepherd. Look at verse 9. It says, Peter was awestruck, and he was amazed by the number of fish they caught, as were the others who were with him. The first part of verse 10. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, they were also amazed. Peter was awestruck. Peter was amazed. His amazement was caused by what the hands of Jesus could do with his life. He's like, I can't believe this. You love me so much that you would multiply and help me go out into the deep and catch all these fish. And not only my boat, but my partner's boats. This is amazing how you take care of us. How you long to be our provider. How you long to be our source and to show us we don't need to look anywhere else but to be dependent upon you. He was just totally amazed. Maybe he remembered this moment late in his life when he wrote 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3. He wrote, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Remember that. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he's given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. And he goes on and talks about some more things. But Peter perhaps remembered, this was his last letter that he wrote, and maybe he was remembering and reflecting about the early days and about that first time a man named Jesus Christ, who was the Messiah, stepped into his boat and called him to a different life. He was amazed. He was completely amazed. Maybe we can make Psalm 23:5 this reality. David says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over." It's hard to believe, God, you love me this much, that you prepare a table, a spread for me to sit with you and dine with you and sup with you and commune with you. Even though there's warfare going all around me, I can sit down in peace because you are the Prince of Peace. And you anoint my head and you cause my cup to run over. You don't just barely fill me up. You cause my life to spill over. You cause me to overflow with your goodness and the richness of this relationship that I have with you, God. I can't believe you love me this much to prepare a table, a space, a seat for me to sit at your table. This is so crazy that you love me this much. I don't know why you would provide for me in the way that I treated you last year. I don't know why you would come back around and keep calling my name when I kind of ignore you sometimes and keep doing things my way. I don't know why you love me this much, but this is amazing that you love me like you do. You are relentless. Your love is amazing that you would do this for me. And that you show me that, man, when I let you pour into me and when I put my life into your hands, that I am completely and totally satisfied. You know, it's okay to still be amazed at God. We can experience miracles and ways that he will provide and answer prayers and open doors and do things for us, and it amazes us. And we're like, man, I shouldn't be this amazed anymore. You've been showing me how awesome you are, how great you are, how faithful you are. But man, come on, may we never lose the wonder of the amazement of our gracious God. How he will just show up in crazy ways to us and demonstrate miracles to remind us that he really does care and he loves us. That it's okay to still get amazed. May we never lose that amazement. Maybe Peter was remembering that when he wrote his last letter, that all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. All my life, you've been giving me everything I need to live this life for you. You have put within me everything that I need to live a godly life for you. That's how we stay the course. Amen? That's how we stick it out. And lastly, number 6, a stewardship guided life is a life that lives holding on to Jesus tighter and tighter and letting go of this world more and more. The last part of verse 10 into 11, Jesus replies to Simon Peter and he says, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. I'm going to keep amazing you." And he did. Wasn't long, just a few years later, where Peter preaches and 3,000 people come to Christ. He says, as soon as they landed the boat, they left everything and followed Jesus. They let go. They were beginning to let go of the world and hold tighter to Jesus. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Don't be afraid." Maybe you need to hear that today. Don't be afraid. Whatever has you holding on to anything other than Jesus with all of your might, with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your life, you don't have to be afraid to let go. You don't have to fear losing out. In fact, Jesus said it this way. Luke writes it in Luke 9:24. If you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, guess what? You will save it. you let go to have more. That doesn't comprehend, right? You let go to have more. Yes. Let go of your life. Let go of your fear. Let go of your anxiety. Let go of trying to figure it all out. Let go of planning it out and sticking it out the way you think you should do it. And man, let the Holy Spirit take over. Whatever you are afraid of to let go, you don't have to. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid to put your whole life into the hands of God. It's the best place. It's the safest place. It's the securest place. You see, living a stewardship guided life, it's not about just doing this or doing that or giving here or giving there. It's about giving the Lord the totality of your life. Maybe we can make Psalm 23:6 a reality. David said, "Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You see, David knew living in God's hands had a certainty about it. David was absolutely certain. If I follow him, abide in him, put my life into his hands, he's going to make goodness and mercy always be my rear guard. Follow me all the way as I hold on to Jesus. My life in God's hands. Will you stand? Are you living life in God's hands? Are you living a stewardship guided life, trusting the Lord and His Word? Are you living with space in your life for Jesus to grow and to overflow? What about it? I think we were asked this question similar way earlier this morning. What do you need to let go of so that you can hold on to Jesus more tightly? You don't have to be afraid to let go, so long as you reach out and hold on to Christ Jesus, your rock. Let's bow our heads. What are you more dependent upon than Christ? Let go of that. Let go of that. Let go of that. Lord, we come before you today wanting to put the totality of our life in your hands. Lord, to us, we can be afraid. To us, it can make us unsure. But you have a long track record of never failing your people. You've never lost. You've never lost. So today, looking forward into this year, help us today to put into your hands our life. Help us, oh Lord, to just let go of the things we're afraid to let go of and trust you. Trust you. Will you pray with me? Father God, you can pray this out loud. Father God, if you mean it, if you want to. Father God, I thank you for loving me. Thank you for calling my name. Thank you for putting up with me and staying by my side. Today, I call on your name. I cling to you. I hold tightly to you, and I let go of whatever it is in my life that I know in my heart that I need to let go of. Help me build my faith, my courage, my hope, my confidence in you, to trust you fully with my life in your hands. I repent. I'm sorry, Lord, for doing it my way. I want to do it your way. Teach me your ways. Show me your will and strengthen me to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to close out with this final song. As we do, I want to encourage you, whatever it is in your life that you need a breakthrough in, that you know, man, I can't do it by myself. I know we did a big prayer earlier, but if you would like anyone to pray with you personally, all you got to do is lift your hand and there'll be folks that'll come by and pray for you right where you are today as we sing about this breakthrough that God is wanting to do.